Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians chapter 3. We'll read verse 23 and we'll read through chapter 4, verse 7. So speaking then of our status now in Christ as those who have been adopted by the Father into new life together with Him. And so let's hear these words again. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. As far as the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I'd also encourage you to take your Psalter hymnals out again and turn to page 20 in the back of that hymnal. To the teaching of Lord's Day 13. That which we confess in the creed together about who Jesus Christ is. This morning as only begotten and also then as Lord. And so let's confess these truths together. I'll read the questions, as been our custom, and we'll all respond with the answer together. Question 33 asks, why is he called God's only begotten Son when we are also God's children? And we answer, because Christ alone is the eternal, natural Son of God. We, however, are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. And then question 34 asks, why do you call him our Lord? Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, has he sent us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil, and has bought us body and soul to be his very own. Thus far, our confession. And let's seek his blessing in it together in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, to whom else can we go? To receive words of life, to receive words of encouragement, to be directed again to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray, give us all, from the man who brings that word to the very youngest of us and everywhere in between, Father, each one in these pews a desire to hear your word, that you would open their hearts to receive it, that it would work its way deep there, that as you make us mindful again of our blessing in Christ, Lord, that we would seek in every way to bring our lives into greater conformity with his. Father, thank you for the truth of the gospel. Thank you for your provision in the service of your Spirit. And so we ask you, consecrate this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are an extremely privileged people. And I know even in saying that word, it probably triggers some negative connotations in terms of that which we hear in the news and people speaking of privilege of every kind and of equality and class and so forth. And it is a struggle. It's a struggle in this world for people to simply affirm the dignity in each other and to continue to live as God calls us to in love. But we should be able to say, and rightly so, without any kind of malice aforethought, that we have been given many privileges. But in that sense, we have been blessed with the even greater privilege of knowing God by way of the grace and love of our Almighty. And perhaps then the greatest of those privileges then is of belonging. It's interesting that way, the links that get made through the catechism in terms of Lord's Day 1, and then at several points throughout of what it is to be his. We come again to that here in Lord's Day 13. And so we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In him we have all things unto our salvation. We have every spiritual blessing in him as well. In him we are made a people that might be loved by our Father and love him back. In him we are made his special possession so that we might be ruled by him and that we might delight in that rule as well. We are privileged because of him, because all of our blessing is found in him. Here's some words that Paul speaks of that privilege and blessing in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. As an only begotten who adopts us, as a Lord who rules over us. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. And yet we can only be found in that blessing, found enjoying all of those blessings and so many more, if we are adopted. We have to be adopted. And yet that truth still seems to wreak havoc in our hearts. Because when we hear of privilege and blessing, we begin, even in the rhetoric that gets used today, I deserve these things. These are my right. Look what I have earned. As though we have deserved such privileges by way of our words and works. Or the pendulum swings the other way, and we believe that given who we are and what we have done, there is no way we could ever possess, much less deserve, such privileges. I'm not worthy to be called your son, Father. And so we deal with two groups of people, of which perhaps we are a part of both groups at times, that needs to be brought again to what it means to be adopted in him. Can anyone do something to be adopted? Can anyone deserve such a thing? No, that's the beauty of it. Those of you who have adopted children to your homes, the wonder of this is a child that I have given my love to, who is loved by me, not because of anything that they have done, not by right of birth, but because I have given my love to them. It's just in a small way of the picture of what the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called the children of God. And so that is why we are brought to that which is ours only by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. That our blessings, our privileges by way of those blessings, our comfort, our hope, our belonging are only known to us because of him. Because of the way that he has loved us and given himself for us. Only if we are adopted as the sons and daughters of the living God. And when we are found in him in that way, not having a righteousness of our own, believing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, then by way of that adoption, we rightly say we belong to him. We belong only to him. And we seek to bring our lives into greater conformity with him as Lord, in love and thanks for all he has done in saving us and naming us as his own. And so this morning, yes, we look at what it is to be adopted, but it's even more than that. Because we see that the believer is adopted so that they will have the privilege of fully belonging to God. And from this word in our confession, then, we see that we are adopted to be his people and to be his possession. People and possession. The believer is adopted so that they will have the privilege of fully belonging to God. But that means, then, even in saying that there's a time where we didn't. And now we understand a biblical teaching of election and the fact that God, before the foundations of the world, has chosen a people to himself. We understand that. But there is a time that we lived as though we were not, alienated from God, hateful and hating one another. And so that was not the fault of the Father, but the fault of our sinful hearts. And sin, again, we hated God. And so we need to be made a part of his people by grace through faith. That's what our text said, if your Bibles are still open, verse 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. We were held captive by our sin. That which alienates us, that which separates us not only from God, but that alienates us from his people. So into that context, the Lord gave us his law. He gives to us, even as we heard this morning, his standard of holiness. But that people, apart from him, not knowing his love or suppressing the truth of that love, hate that law. We hate his holiness. We hate it because it makes sin plain. It makes us feel guilty. It puts us to death. When we hear those words, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. How can you say that about us? Good people, right people. But we're not. The law can only show us that he is God and we are not. And more, it leaves us in the knowledge of the fact that we live apart from him and need to be brought near to him. Not as free agents, not just as those who have been saved, but those who are his. Those who are made his people, who are made his righteousness, his chosen possession. So then, verse 24, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith, made right with God, guilt taken away, sin atoned for, made forever right with God. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. The law no longer reigns over us because it's been fulfilled in Christ. And so we come back to it as that ordering principle, is that way to say thank you, but it is not our way to God. It is not our way to be accepted by the Father. The prodigal doesn't run back to his dad saying, if I do this, 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 and this, can I be accepted again? No, the Father opens his arms to him. It wasn't on the basis of what he had done. It was on the basis of the Father's love. That's the point. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's how the Father sees us, and that is how we are to see each other. Not in the microscope of the law, but in the joy of being clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, redeemed, his people, his family. And that can only happen in Christ. There is nothing we have done or left undone that makes us his people. No, Christ makes us a people. And not just individually, but together. His blessing isn't reserved just for a few people or just a few ethnic groups of people. No, his grace to call a people to himself, a family to himself, comes from every tribe and tongue and nation. Again, Bibles, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is what he has worked. I have brought you near to me. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring according to the promise. Through you, all people will be blessed. Because we find ourselves in the fullness of the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, being caught up in the promise of Christ. This is the privilege together. This is ours together. But note again who provides it. And it seems at this point that the catechism is being repetitive, because didn't we already talk about this in terms of Jesus being Jesus and Jesus being Christ? Why the repetition, as it were? Why do we need to hear again that we are his people and his possession? Because we're so prone to wander. Because we're so prone to take our eyes away from him being the only way that we are accounted as sons and daughters of God. Why is he called God's only begotten son when we are also God's children? We want to skip to the children part and not remember who Christ is. Come just as you are. Live how you like. God's going to love you anyway. Not if you're not found in the only begotten. Not if your life isn't wrapped up in him, because Christ alone is the eternal natural Son of God. Without Christ alone, we have none of this blessing. We have none of what we claim. We have no adoption, no belonging, no privilege, no faith. We have nothing, because he alone is the only begotten, without beginning or end of days, alone the gift of God, who makes the promise of election and all of those other things sure. It's the joy of reading John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the only one. He is the only way. He is the only one who could be given so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He is the only Son of God. And if we believe we may have any such blessing or privilege apart from him, we're lost. If that's what we think, we're in need of grace. If we think we're just going to walk up to the family party and bring ourselves in because, well, look at me, there's no entrance. You've not been made a part of the family of God. And so I ask you this morning straightway, do you believe that the Son of God is your only claim to salvation? Is he all your righteousness? Is he the only reason you are made right with the Father? Search your heart, because we know we're tempted to add to it. That's part of that repetition too. Don't lose sight. Don't lose sight of the one and only. For when you give to yourself to him as Lord and Savior with all your heart, that means you've been given eyes to see and ears to hear who you really are in Christ and how you find in him and we find in him together all of the blessings and privileges that are ours in him. For we are adopted children of God, adopted by grace through Christ. Which means what? We don't adopt kids and give them second-class status, right? Well, these are the kids that have been born to me by blood. These are my... An adopted son or daughter has all the privileges of anyone else bestowed upon them. That's the wonder of it. So even that however could be taken out of there. There isn't a however. There isn't a qualifying phrase to this. This is who you are. You've been adopted the children of God. All the rights and privileges of such membership are now yours. There's nothing second class about that. What Christ has done, our brother, our older brother, has come fulfilling all righteousness for us. Not older brother in the prodigal son sense, but coming to us to be righteous and to offer his life that he might, the Father might, embrace us and bring us together with him. All brothers and sisters together. That's the joy. You fully belong to him because you are his son or daughter by faith. You're a son and daughter of God. What blessing. What joy for us. It says in Galatians 3, verse 25, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. It is that faith known to us by his Holy Spirit, revealed to us in what we've read in Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but that's what we do. I know I'm a son of God, but I got to earn it. I know I'm a son of God, but I got to live this way. And I got to. You're a son of God because of Christ. And the more that we lose sight of that, the gospel is wrecked as we speak to others because it's about our standards and not his. It's about us and not him. And it's crushing. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which you call Abba, Dad. And I know we think it's sacrilege. How dare we come to God and say, Daddy? That's what he said to us. That's what the Word says. That's how familiar he is with you. That's the nature of his love for you. As a father loves his child, so the Almighty by adoption loves you. Fully, wholly, because he has given his Son for you. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And he has to, because the devil comes to us and says, you're not good enough. Don't you remember what you did? Don't you remember how you live? You come to church and look how you dress up and you go through the stuff. But I know your heart too. I've seen what you've done. Slavery to fear. What if someone knows that I struggle with addiction, that I struggle with lust, that I struggle with self-image, that I struggle with sins of various kinds? What? You're a child of God. It's not going to surprise any of us. There's grace for that. We're not going to kick you out of the family for it, because we're all broken sinners too. But the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might be glorified with Him. Is that the substance of your rejoicing? Quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at your deeds. Quit trying to find a way to earn it from God. Stop it. Don't stop being sanctified. But stop trying to figure out your justification on your own. It is all in Christ. Are you marveling in the fact that you are not first and foremost a sinner or a slave when I come to you? Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You've been loved by Him. His Son has been given for you. That's not our first definition of who we are. That's what we were. What we are in Christ is His. Adopted. Forgiven, loved. That's how we are defined by Him. He chose you because He wanted you. He chose you because He loved you. And because of His desire and love, you have the right and privilege of being His people now and always. That you can come to Him, Father, help me. Father, be my refuge. Be my strong tower. Be my help, my deliverer, my fortress. We can come presented before the Father, praying to Him, know that He hears and cares for us and loves for us, thankful for the eternal life promised to us as well in the only begotten. It's the joy that we read in those first seven verses of Galatians 4. God sent His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You are His child, because He adopted you. Don't lose sight of it. Don't forget it. He's adopted you by way of His choosing, doing all of the things that you could not do so that you would be His child. And don't ever believe that you have done anything to deserve it or anything so terrible that it could never be. It was His choice. His choice to make you His people. His choice to make you belong to Him is a special possession, and that in the last place. Because this is overwhelming stuff. The truth of this is mind-blowing. He chose us, sending His Son to die for us, even while we were yet sinners, opening His arms wide to us through the blood of His one and only. And only in that way can we come to know electing love. But how does that change you? So it's fine to know and come to this service and say, we've been adopted. God's chosen us. He's loved us. But now what? Now what? What does that look like day by day? How does it change us forever? In this way. Because in recognizing how much He has loved you, what He has given for you, we are driven together in a fuller way, not only to love Him, but to love each other. Because the people that you look at to your right and left, those who are found by faith in Christ Jesus, those are your brothers and sisters. Those are the one He's loved enough to send His Son for. Not just you, for them too. It changes how we interact together. Because none of us in this room has deserved it or disqualified ourselves from it by way of our own works and words. No, we're all redeemed in this place to what? That we would love each other. It says in 1 John 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love him because he first loved us. We love each other because he first loved us. He has done all things for us and our salvation, but there is a greater motivation for such love. It's this: we belong to him. We belong to him. Not just made a child, but his. We haven't just been set free, we've been recreated to belong to him. And as one who belongs to the Lord, he dictates to us who we are and what we are to be and what we are to hope for. If we belong to him, that means we serve only him. Again, you can't have him as Savior and not as Lord. We will find him and follow him and find our identity only in him, because he is our Lord in every way, because he has chosen that right. He has paid that right. He has made us that we would belong to him in every way, and that we would delight in it, even as we delight ourselves most fully in him. Why do you call him our Lord? He comes to us and says, I'm your Father. And yet, why do we call him Lord? Because it's the respect that he deserves. Because it's the office that he fills. My life belongs to my Lord. My sovereign allegiance belongs to him. My every decision, my every goal, my every purpose is dictated not by me, but by him. And we do so willingly. We do so cheerfully. Why do you call him Lord? Because that is how he has revealed himself to us. We call him Lord because he alone deserves it. He alone we pledge allegiance to forever and ever. Why? Because of what he paid. Remember what he has given again. Because not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, he has set us free from sin and from the tyranny of the devil. His wounds have paid our ransom. By his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ took on our flesh to ransom us through his life and death from our sins. He has delivered us then fully from them. It says in Hebrews 2, since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Delivered us fully from all of those things, that we would live for him through that blood. Which gives us pause as to how am I living for him? Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. That he was a perfect sacrifice for us to deliver us body and soul in life and in death to him. That we would no longer be slaves to fear and darkness, but now to be the children of light, rejoicing in salvation. As Paul's rejoicing in Colossians 1, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Or in Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And how is that possible? Because through that sacrifice, through that death, he purchased us to that very thing. Why have I given my Son for you, that you would have life in his name? That you would live life in his name. For he has bought us body and soul to be his very own, his life and death fully satisfying the wrath of God against our sins. And by way of the application of that satisfaction upon us, we now belong to him. People of God, that is the greatest blessing of all of them. We belong to him, which means he will never let us go. No one will snatch us out of his hand. We are always his. And so belonging to him means that your sins are forgiven and he remembers them no more. Belonging to him as Lord means that your life is not yours, but is to be used in every way for him. Belonging to him as Lord means that you seek to bring every thought captive to him. Belonging to him means you bring the word of God to bear and the wonder of his redeeming love to bear into every sphere of your life now and always. And belonging to him as Lord means that we have the comfort of now and eternal life in Jesus Christ. People of God, do you know your privilege? Do you know it in a better way than what people speak about in the news today? Do you know your privilege in Christ? Do you recognize the privilege it is to say such a thing? He's our Father. He's our Lord. Our brother is the only begotten Son of God. Do you praise the name of the Lord for such? People of God, recognize it. Recognize what is yours. And pray to him that he would continue to change your heart. That more and more you would embrace that privilege of belonging to him in thanksgiving. Bringing your life into greater conformity with his by way of the word and spirit. That would give testimony to the same. I belong to God. And may Zechariah's prayer as he considered the gift of Christ the Savior and Lord be ours as well. Luke 1. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our father, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. This is our privilege in being found in the only begotten Son, our Lord. May this be our heart and life together in Christ alone, the privilege of belonging to him. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of the gospel, for the wonder of redeeming love, for the gift of your only begotten, that we would call you Lord. And so, Father, help it to not just be words, but the real substance of our hearts. And the real testimony of our lives, that in all things we belong to him. Father, we know that we don't always. We confess to you our weakness and our brokenness. But we thank you, Lord, that you forgive us all of it in Christ. And so, Father, may we marvel in being your sons and daughters, in being your thankful servants. Father, no longer slaves to fear and to sin, but Father, sons serving the Almighty God. Lord, hear our prayer then, and use us and our gifts, Father, to the glory of your name. Father, we pray for the offering we give this morning for the Christian Education Fund, that you would continue to raise up another generation, Lord, in that desire as well, to rejoice in that which is theirs in the Son, and to continue to give their lives in obedience and thanksgiving for him. In whose name we pray, in Jesus' name.